Blog Talk Radio.
Choirs are singing, be my sword and shield, my missionaries on a foreign field. Good evening, folks, and welcome to another episode of the Dr. C. Robert Jones Situation Report with me, your host, Dr. C. Robert Jones. And we're going to talk about a couple things tonight. There's a whole lot of craziness going on. I don't know. America, you know, one would have thought that the tumultuous times of the 60s would have we would have somehow passed that time, and we would and more of a cohesive country in terms of our politics, our social views, and so on. But things have gotten so much worse, don't you think? We have so-called African Americans fighting for equality, fighting for social justice. You know, I grew up in the 60s. Even though I was a little boy, I grew up in the 60s. And I know what those times meant to my parents. I know what they meant to me. We were living in a country where there was covert and overt racism. But gradually, as I grew up, my country and the citizens of my country became more enlightened, and we began to see a lot of changes in terms of race relations, in terms of how we dealt with each other and what we thought of each other. Now, No, we're not completely out of the woods yet in terms of race relations, in terms of racism. Because I'll be quite frank with you. At times I've been known to be quite a bit racist myself. You know, it was Chris Rock who said in an HBO special some years back, and these were his exact words. He said, I love a black man, but I can't stand a nigger. Those are direct quotes. I forgot to put the quotes in there, but he said that. And you know what? There are a lot of black people out there who feel exactly the same way. They love black people, but they can't stand a nigger. And that's just real. If I'm watching the news, the local news, be it in Florida, Georgia, Virginia, my hometown of Chicago, Illinois, and I see some nigger on TV, quite unable to speak the language, looking all disheveled and embarrassing, all to be damned, I'm saying to myself, that's a nigger. Now, I might not say it out loud, but does that make me racist? Well, if it does, then so be it. Does it make a white person any more racist if he or she says it? I don't know. But my point is, racism comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. Because when a black man calls a white person a cracker or a honky or some word of that sort, that's racism. So when I look around and I see Colin Kaepernick being celebrated by Nike because he's celebrating social justice, and Nike wants to reward him for that and try to get some more sales from those young people who are still fighting the struggle. And while I'm talking about that, let me just give you my thought process here. You see, the 60s civil rights movement brought to the fore iconic figures. The movement, the struggle, the Black Panther Party, Medgar Evers, Malcolm X, in my opinion, they really did something. They put their lives on the line. Medgar shot dead. Malcolm shot dead by Muslims. His own black people killed him. But Medgar was shot by a white man. Even that clown, Jesse Jackson. These are all iconic figures. We can't deny it. Even Jesse. So now we've got this younger generation. And they're looking for an identity. They're looking for relevance. They want to feel important. They don't just want to go out and get a job and raise a family and have the little house with the white picket fence, the dog and 2.5 children. They want that, but they want more. And so just like we have the new Magnum PI. Anybody heard that? There's a new show called Magnum PI, a reboot. How the hell do you reboot Thomas Sullivan Magnum? How the hell do you do a goddamn... I'm sorry. How do you do Magnum? The dude doesn't even have a mustache. First of all, Magnum reboot? Yeah, that should work for Hawaii 5-0 because, frankly, Steve McGarrett, you know, the guy who played him, like, kind of nondescript, you know, kind of bland. I don't know if you ever watched the show. He's just kind of there. He's not an iconic figure. Steve McGarrett, the character. So it's easy to do a reboot of that. But how do you reboot fucking 6'4", super stud, mustachian stud, Tom Selleck? How do you do that? Where's Higgins? Where's TC? Where are those damn Dobermans? But I think I'm getting off the point here. But am I? Because what we're seeing here in society with the young people of America is a reboot of the 60s. Because there are no new ideas. That's my point. There are no new ideas. There's no original thought anymore, folks. No original thought. When you reboot Magnum, for God's sake, with some young Hispanic dude, yeah, he's good looking and all that, but he doesn't have the mustache. Is he driving the red Ferrari? I don't think so. Oh, yeah, he's a Navy SEAL. Magnum was a real SEAL when the SEALs were back in the 60s when they first came about, a SEAL. This guy's some punk. But the networks have decided, well, you know, we just can't think of anything. You know, there are no Sheldon Leonards anymore. There aren't any of those guys who came up with these original shows anymore. They don't exist anymore. Because there are no more original ideas. Everything's regurgitated and redone and repackaged because basically people have become lazy. And the creativity has disappeared. So now we have a Magnum reboot. And as much as I love Candace Bergen, and I'll admit I had a big crush on her. Murphy Brown is back. Murphy Brown and a couple of other shows from the 80s, they're back. It saddens me. First of all, you just don't redo Magnum and fucking super 6'4", super stud Tom Selleck. You don't do it. The dude doesn't even have a mustache, for Christ's sake. And even if he did, you can't duplicate Tom Selleck's iconic mustache. You can't do it. And there's no fucking Higgins. Okay, hold on a minute. Let me gather myself. Oh, my God. Okay. Oh, wow. Okay, all right. It's getting hot in here. Hold on a minute. I gotta take this off. Okay. All right. So what I'm really trying to say here, folks, is that just like in society, just like with the reboot of Magnum and Murphy Brown coming back and several other shows from the 70s and 80s, young people have no new ideas. So they're reinventing the struggle. The struggle. So everywhere you look, there's racism. It's racist. That's racist. You racist. Oh, you don't like my shirt? You racist. Oh, you don't like my nappy ass head of hair? You racist because you're racist. They're trying to reinvent the 60s just as if some damn network executive said, you know what? Let's bring back Mr. Ed. Instead of a horse, we're going to make his ass a donkey. Oh, no, we can't do that because we already had Francis the Talking Mule, so we can't make him a donkey. Let's see. Let's bring back Mr. Ed. But with a twist, let's make Mr. Ed a honey badger. A honey badger that can talk and be funny. And pick up the phone with his little saber from super fucking super sharp teeth. And then order a pizza. Yeah, we're going to bring back Mr. Ed. And we're going to call him Mr. Ed. But he's really going to be, instead of being a horse, he's going to be a honey badger. That can talk. Because I can't think of anything else. Young people have decided that they're bringing back the struggle of the 60s. And they're gonna be the new Medgar Evers. There's gonna be a new Martin Luther King. There's gonna be a new Jesse, because Jesse's about to die. You seen him lately? It's almost over. So Jesse's about to check out. So there's gonna have to be somebody to replace him. Oh, and that clown, what's his name? Al Sharpton. He's not all that long either. It's almost over for him too. We're going to be going to his funeral sometime soon, within the next 5 to 10 years, I think. So he's going to have to be a new him. Because the struggle continues, folks. Colin Kaepernick sporting that big-ass fro. Now, before Colin Kaepernick got a conscience and decided he's going to fight for the struggle, he wore his hair short. He wore it in braids. But now he's got a big ass afro. I don't see the afro pick, but he's probably got one in his back pocket. Because that's where we used to have them when we were kids. So now Nike just paid Kaepernick a shitload of money. Yes. Colin Kaepernick, who hasn't played a down of football in 2-3 years, just got paid. Because Nike's making a statement. Nike is down with the struggle. Never mind. A black person hasn't had to ride the back of the bus since the 60s, early mid-60s. Never mind that a white person dare not call a nigga a nigga. Even though a nigga can call a nigga a nigga. Think about that. Never mind that white people open the door for black people. It happened to me today. Just open the door. I didn't have a handful of bags. My hands were, I reach for it. And a cracker, not just a regular white person, but a cracker, opened the door for me. He said, after you. I said, thank you. He said, you're very welcome. And then, of course, there are double doors. I grabbed the door for him. He said, thank you. I said, you're welcome. And we both walked on into the restaurant. Would that happen in the 60s? Probably not. But the struggle continues, folks, because we're being oppressed. We're being oppressed, and cops is killing black folks by the bushelful. Nope, but that's what they say. Never mind that blacks are killing blacks wholesale every single day. Never mind that blacks are selling drugs to blacks and ruining the lives of young people and old alike every minute of the day. Never mind all these things, because, well, we don't want to talk about that. We just want to talk about the cop that shot dude, because dude flinched or whatever the hell he did. Because cops are scared of black folks a lot of times. Hell, I don't blame them. I'm scared of them, too. My sons are cops. I'm scared for my sons. And my sons are black, by the way. So, my point is, the struggle continues, even though the struggle doesn't exist anymore. Just like Mr. Ed. Mr. Ed is dead. Everybody knows that Mr. Ed is gone. And yet, I suspect Mr. Ed will be back. And as a honey badger, no less. A talking honey badger. And he's going to order Chinese. He's going to pick up the phone with those sharp, razor-sharp teeth. And those razor-sharp claws. He's going to knock it over. And he's going to order shrimp egg bouillon. He's going to order wonton soup. And a bag of crab ragoons. And folks are going to laugh. When Wilbur, who's going to be a Mexican, comes to the door, and the Uber Eats guy says, "Sir, is your name Mr. Ed? Because you just, here's your order." "I didn't order anything." "Ed, you ordered Chinese, Wilbur." And it goes on and on and on. Because just like in television and in movies, where there are no more new ideas, no more original stories, no more original concepts, in the black and white liberal community, there are no original ideas anymore. White privilege. The struggle for social justice and racism. Never mind that none of these young people ever suffered a hint of racism in their short little lives. I'll bet not a single one was ever called a nigger by a white person. But the struggle continues. We need to resurrect the struggle. Otherwise, our lives will be empty and mundane. And we'll go about our lives working, making money, having children, and a dog, and we'll just die. But we want to be relevant, so, what can we do? We can bring back racism. May you live in interesting times. And we do. Don't we? We're going to talk about that in just a minute. We'll be right back.
There are those who dedicate themselves to a sense of honor, to a life of courage, and a commitment to something greater than themselves. They have always defended this nation and each other.
People come to internet radio for any number of reasons. Among the reasons are perhaps they're tired of the pasteurized, homogenized news that they get from their TV. Or some may want their talk radio a little more raw. Well, that's what you get with internet talk radio. Real people with real opinions that give you real conversation. It's not your daddy's talk radio. And it's for people who stay informed and a great way to share ideas and debate issues. Well, let's just say that Internet Talk Radio hosts don't sit in front of the makeup mirror before they go on the air. Internet Talk Radio is a fast-growing new media that allows folks to get around the dinosaur media. We Are America United is a network of patriotic radio hosts bringing you honest discussion and discourse that will keep you riveted all day. Check out radio.waaumedia.com.
You've heard about the Black Card, right? No, not the one from Visa or American Express. This one is much more valuable. There are entire organizations that have been built upon it, and individuals that have used it to acquire both wealth and influence. If this sounds like something you might wish to own, you should know that there is only one way you can get your hands on it. You have to be born with black skin. That's the only requirement. Really. You can be poor, middle class, rich, it doesn't matter. The Black Card will still confer upon you an entire history of oppression, even if you've never been oppressed. Flash the Black Card and most white people will cower. Play the Black Card expertly and you can win awards, make millions, all the while claiming that the people who got you there somehow hate you. With a Black Card, you can sell books full of indecipherable prose, because with a card that powerful, who cares if your words make any sense? You can call yourself a civil rights leader and shake down multinational corporations, or you can torch your own neighborhood because you didn't like the outcome of a grand jury verdict. Ironically, the people you might think have the most legitimate claim to the Black Card refuse to use it. Take my grandfather, for instance. He raised me from the time I was 9 years old. Born in 1941 in rural North Carolina, he started working at age 5, laying out tobacco to dry on a sharecropping farm. Jim Crow, separate drinking fountains, and the KKK were ever-present realities. He was 17 when he married my grandmother. He made a living cleaning homes and office buildings until he saved up enough money to open his own cleaning business. The thing is, he never played any card, nor did my grandmother. If they had problems, they didn't blame anybody. They just fixed them. And they raised me to do the same. Chores were a requirement in their household. So was reading the Bible every morning before school. I didn't like the Bible readings, and I hated the chores, but I realize now that these small acts of discipline, although sometimes stifling, had a strong, positive impact on my character. I was a first-generation college student. This was supposed to be the ticket to prosperity, but it wasn't. I left college with a mountain of debt and no practical skills. I had just $80 in my bank account and very few prospects. I could have given up. I could have dug deep into my history and declared myself a natural product of ancestral oppression. I could have played the Black Card and absolved myself of all responsibility for my own stupid decisions. Except I didn't. Because it would have destroyed my grandfather's legacy. I am proud that he had the fortitude to turn nothing into something, and I have no intention of reversing that something back into a nothing. My attitude comes with a price, however, because if you are born black and you don't accept your natural status as a victim, then the validity of your blackness is immediately called into question. Well, so be it. If believing in myself, if accepting the responsibility for my failure somehow disqualifies me from owning an imaginary card, then let me be the first to declare that I don't want one. I also don't want Cornel West, Al Sharpton, or insert anyone else who uses their skin color to game the system as a role model. I already have my grandfather. If there is one thing that my family history has taught me, it's that I do not need a black card or an imaginary anything to make something of myself. For the record, My grandfather, now retired, lives in a home that he and my grandmother built on a plot of land they purchased in North Carolina, the very same sharecropping farm that he worked on as a small child. His story is unique. His story is beautiful. Because it's American. And that's the only card I've ever been interested in playing. I'm Candace Owens for Prager University.
All right. Welcome back. Vivian, while we're on the break, I'm listening to Candace Owen. My friend Vivian writes, racism never, in capital letters, left. It was merely swept under the rug for a moment. The rug has now been removed to be dusted off, how eloquent, beaten like the olden days. Now, the unsettled dust, in quotes, in capital letters, is flying amok. Well, what do you think about that? I guess maybe Vivian is implying that racism was swept under the rug during Obama's historic election twice, with the majority of the voters being white people, because as we've discussed previously, there aren't enough black people in America to elect a president, no matter what his ethnicity. There had to be a significant number of white people. So I guess she's referring to the racism during the 12 years Obama was president and had his ass kissed every single day. Maybe she's saying that it was swept under the rug all those years. And that now that my man and yours, Donald John Trump, is president, the rug has been dusted off. Isn't that interesting that someone takes that view? I guess Vivian falls under the category of one of those folks who doesn't have anything else better to do but to resurrect the struggle, because Murphy Brown's back. Mr. Ed as the honey badger's probably coming too. And of course, some Hispanic dude, handsome he may be, is playing Thomas Sullivan motherfucking Magnum with no mustache, no Higgins, no Ferrari, no TC. My friend Vivian is also attempting to relive the struggle. Well, let's get on with the show. Colin Kaepernick, getting paid. Nike backlash, all to be damned. Nike stock dropping. Kavanaugh, hearings today. Democrats going nuts. They know he's going to be confirmed. They can't stop it. They can't stop it. He's going to be confirmed. So they're just going to whine and cry and shout and threaten. And they just went mad all day long. Just showed their asses like a kid at the grocery store with his mama. They just falling out. You know those types. You know the kids I'm talking about. The kind that just flop on the grocery store floor and just put on a show, because you know, well, back when I was a kid, that ass whooping would start right there in the store in front of everybody. No cop would be called. Everybody would turn their head and go on about their business, and it'd all be good. Nowadays, you whoop your kid's ass in the grocery store, your ass is going to jail, and the kid's going into foster care. But back then, I guess you can take your ass whooping. But this is what Democrats did today. They flopped. They screamed. They kicked. They yelled. They cried. Ain't gonna do no damn good. You heard me? Let's take a listen.
I welcome everyone to this confirmation hearing on the nomination of
Mr.
Judge
Chairman.
Brett Kavanaugh.
Mr. Chairman.
To serve as Associate Justice.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like
Supreme
to be recognized for a question
States.
Before we proceed. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to be recognized to ask a question before we proceed. The committee received just last night, less than 15 hours ago, 42,000 pages of documents that we have not had an opportunity to review or read or analyze.
You're out of order. I'll proceed.
We cannot possibly move forward, Mr. Chairman.
I extend
this
a very warm welcome
we have not
to
been
Judge
given
Kavanaugh,
an opportunity to have a meaningful
his wife,
hearing
Ashley,
on the nominee.
There are two daughters.
Mr. Chairman, I agree with my colleague, Senator Harris. Mr. Chairman,
Judge
we received 42,000 documents that we haven't
and
been able
else joining
to review
us
last
today.
Night, and we believe this hearing should
I know
be postponed.
This is an exciting day.
But this is the first confirmation hearing for a Supreme Court justice I've seen, basically, according to mob rule.
One of the most distinguished judges. Mr. Chairman, I think we ought to have this loudmouth removed. I mean, we shouldn't have to put up with this kind of stuff. I hope she's not a luster.
All right. The Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus went out of business last year. But it found a successor Tuesday on Capitol Hill as Democrats and demonstrators performed at the Senate Judiciary Committee hearing on the nomination of Judge Brett Kavanaugh for the Supreme Court. Now, Committee Chairman Chuck Grassley, Republican from Iowa, commented on repeated outbursts by demonstrators and a steady string of complaints by Democrat senators. And he said that this is something I've never gone through before in 115 Supreme Court nominations. Now, the thing is, it's not going to stop the show. Kavanaugh, the Republicans have the votes. He's going to be confirmed. So what is this show all about? What is it all about? And this is just day one. The show is going to go on, folks, for the rest of the week. And we are going to watch Democrats lose their damn minds. And you know what? I'm going to tell you something right here and now. I'm going to love it. I'm going to love every minute of it. And I'm going to laugh and I'm going to laugh and I'm going to laugh. Because Republicans don't behave this way. No. But Republicans do not behave in this fashion. They did not behave in this fashion when Obama made his picks. You can go back to the archives, baby. That's what Google is for. And YouTube, too. Democrats have lost their damn minds. Or did they ever really have them at all? Because, as we know, it's not about what you think with Democrats. It's about what you feel. Listen to a Democrat or a liberal talk to you. The first thing out of their mouths is, well, I feel like this. Well, I feel this way. Well, I feel, you know what? Listen to a Republican and they'll say, well, this is what I think. Because it's all about the facts, baby. It's not about what you feel. And do you remember when Obama had his pick out there and he said he wanted the primary thing he wanted his Supreme Court pick to have, the most important thing, was empathy. Empathy. Those are his exact words, empathy. In other words, he wanted his Supreme Court pick to feel, to use his heart, not the facts of the case, not what the law says, not what the Constitution is all about, what the Constitution says, but go by your feelings. I feel like this. Well, hell, I feel like a damn piece, slice of cheesecake. From Crazy Craig's cheesecake from the Cheesecake Factory. I feel like I want a slice. I feel a lot of things. But if I acted on my feelings a lot of times, there'd be a whole lot of people. Well, let's just say there'd be a whole lot of trouble for a whole lot of people. So I don't act on my feelings. I act on what I think and what I know. But liberals don't do that. It's all about how I feel. And they feel that Kavanaugh will make a bad judge. Now, Kavanaugh's a good person. And he is well qualified. But liberals believe that he'll overturn Roe v. Wade. Also believe that, well, he is Donald Trump's pick. And that can't be good for anybody. Trump shouldn't get a pick because he is not a legitimate president. They believe that. And they also believe that, well, all this liberal shit they got going on, it's over. Oh, and the fact that if Kavanaugh gets on the court, they also believe that they feel, rather, that he'll their efforts to impeach Trump won't go where they want it to. So this is all going on. May we live in interesting times. And yes, we do. And so that brings us to the heading of the show. What's the meaning of the phrase, may you live in interesting times? It sounds good, doesn't it? Because it sounds kind of like, wow, the live in interesting times. There's a lot going on. Wow, let's talk about it. Let's think about it. Wow, this is great. Hey, this stuff happening all the time. No. What it really means is, may you experience much disorder and trouble in your life. May you experience much disorder and trouble in your life. And that's exactly what's happening. We, Vivian, are living in interesting times, which is not good. Now, what is the origin of the phrase, quote, may you live in interesting times, end quote? It's been purported to be a blessing, but this is in fact a curse. The expression is always used ironically with the clear implication that uninteresting times of peace and tranquility are more life-enhancing than interesting ones. May you live in interesting times is widely reported as being of ancient Chinese origin, but is neither Chinese nor ancient. Being recent and Western, it certainly seems to have intended to sound Oriental in the faux Chinese Confucius he says style, but that's as near to China as it actually gets. Confucius's actual sayings are as elusive as those of his Western counterpart, Aesop. But we have no written record from either of them. So, is it good to live in interesting times? Well, that's what we're living in, interesting damn times. We've got a situation where there are those in the environmental community attempting to ban balloons at parties. Yes, balloons at parties. Because they say that the balloons, which are often filled with helium, if a child or a person lets them go, they go up into the air and a lot of times they burst and they fall into the woods or the ocean or something, and some unsuspecting yet idiotic bird or creature of some sort chows down on the rubber and craps out. And that's bad for the environment, and bad for the fishes, and bad for the honey badgers named Mr. Ed. And it's just bad. So to solve this problem and to save the honey badgers and the birds and the owls and the raccoons and all that shit, well, we'll just ban the use of balloons. This is actually a thing. And I don't really have the time to get into the whole thing, but if you really want to know, it's called No Congratulations, Liberals Move to Ban Balloons. It's on, just Google that in the American Thinker. Liberals move to ban balloons. What the hell is going on? Seriously. May you live in interesting times. Woodward is back with a tell-all book about the Trump administration and how supposedly his inner circle, his confidants, think he's crazy and unhinged and juvenile and childlike, and they do things to save America from him. And General John Kelly, my mentor, I served under him four different times in my career, is reported to have said some awful things about Trump behind his back. But I know John Kelly. I know General Kelly. And I know he would never say any such thing to anyone, ever, even if he thought it, he wouldn't say it. Because number one, he's a professional. And number two, he's wise. He knows fully well that saying things like that out loud can get you in a little bit of trouble, and someone's going to leak it. And Kelly is too smart to ever let his true thoughts and feelings be revealed to strangers. Now, unless Woodward interviewed Kelly's wife and she ratted him out because he engaged in some pillow talk where he said Trump was an idiot, which I don't think is would happen, then Kelly didn't say those things. I can guarantee that. I served under the man four times. I know him, and I know him well. He would never say anything like this. And if he is quoted as saying these foul things, and disrespectful things about the commander-in-chief. And I know fully well that it isn't so, that it isn't true at all. Then in my opinion, his whole book is filled with falsehoods, in my opinion. Like, none of it's to be believed. But why would Woodward write such a thing? Huh. I find all of this, all of it, to be interesting. And remember, that's a curse. Why would Bob Woodward knowingly, or any American, knowingly... Think about this. This is the United States of America. Why would a person of any note attempt to besmirch the reputation, the office of the presidency? Because let's just say in a parallel universe, all of what Woodward alleges in his book, with all of these unnamed sources, because not a single source has been named in his book, not one, mind you. Got a copy right here. Right here. Not a single source so far, I haven't read it all, has been named. An actual person's name. Except Kelly. Why is that? Huh. But the question is, why would someone do that? Weaken. Because if you weaken the president, if you wound the president, then do you not wound the country? Do you not weaken the country itself as a whole, your country? The country you were born and raised in, the country, your country. Why would you knowingly, why would anyone knowingly attempt to weaken the president and thus the office of the presidency and thus the United States of America? In my mind, and just in my mind, this borders on treason. Now, some would say, oh no, a real patriot would expose the president who is out of his depth, that a real American would want there to be a reckoning, would want this president removed. Really? Huh, that's interesting. I don't think a real American would want that. But there have those who have said it. President Trump is not presidential. He is a threat to democracy. But we're not a democracy. We are a republic. But if you stayed your ass in that civics class and not went out to smoke some weed in the parking lot, you wouldn't know that. May you live in interesting times. And damn, don't we? Well, we're going to continue this tomorrow. We're going to get all down dirty in it because we're just getting started. It's Tuesday, but the week is just beginning for me. And you too, because just like I do, you live in interesting times right here with me. Yes, but still, it's a wonderful world, isn't it? It's good to be me, and I certainly hope that it's good to be you. And we're going to throw this down. God bless Trump and the USA. I want to thank you for listening. I know there's plenty of things you could be doing, and you chose to spend it listening to my show, and I thank you very much. And those of you who are downloading the show and listening to it later, thank you also. You've made this show a big success, and we've been on since 2010. God bless you. And God bless the United States of America and Donald John Trump. Good night.
Today there's things disappearing that I worked for all my life. I dread having to start again with just my children and my wife. I wanna thank some lucky stars for trying to bring our greatness back today. 'Cause the flag used to stand for freedom, now they're trying to take that away. We're gonna make America great again. We're gonna set our country free from the destruction by the party, taking freedom away from me. And I'll proudly stand up next to Trump and support him here today. 'Cause there ain't no doubt he'll fix this land. God bless Trump and the USA.
America safe again. We will make America great again.
With the fine folks of Minnesota to the great peaks of Tennessee, along with the strong down in Texas, from sea to shining sea, from the suffering Detroit down to Houston and New York to L.A., we can bring back the American dream, and it's time we stand and say, we're gonna make America great again. We're gonna keep our country free, and we're going to help all those who fought to give that right to me. And I'm glad we stand up next to Trump and support him here today. Support him here today, 'cause there ain't no time.